VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook on this Sunday morning. College baseball on our minds, thanks to Colin Wilson. I do. Big tip of the cap to my guy, Colin Wilson, for jumping on. You can hear the pain in his voice as he heads to Kansas City to watch the Royals and A's on this Father's Day. We'll talk to Thomas Gable. He will join us from behind the counter. Was the bad beat for me good for him last night as the over cash? My guess would be probably not. Looking at the betting splits, it was a heavily bet over situation there in most shops. So we'll see what Thomas Gable has to say from behind the counter and what he is expecting today from the U.S. Open. If you missed it, Wes Reynolds on the program said, you know, maybe worth a little flyer, Victor Hovland at 6-1. And I did. I threw in a little Victor Hovland 6-1 for a Sunday sweat. So we'll see if Victor can come from three back and win the U.S. Open. So we opened the show today discussing the ending of last night, Panthers and Oilers. Total was sitting at 6.5. As we all know, first four games all went over. First period goes over as well. No goals in the second period. No goals the first 5 minutes of the third period. The live total dropped as low as 3.5. And then the goals started flying. And ultimately, 5-2, game goes over. So I posed the question, what was the worst beat? Was it the Pacers plus 6 on Friday night? Was it last night with the total 6.5? I didn't mention what we saw late last night in Arizona, but Chris Spano did. He said, "Hi, Tim. I was the victim of a couple bad beats, too. Friday, I took the Pacers plus the points." Oof, that is a tough one. "I also took Padres' money line against the D-backs last night. Padres stung bad due to a 7-3 lead in the ninth. It stung more since I'm a D-backs fan. I bet with my head, not my heart." Now, hopefully he miswrote the end, because if you're a D-backs fan, you should have felt good at least. It was, you tried to have the happiness hedge. But if you missed it last night, holy smokes, the Diamondbacks did it again. They were down 7-3 heading into the bottom of the ninth and scored 5 runs to walk it off. This courtesy of Optostats. Tonight, as in last night, marks the third time this season the D-backs have come back from a 4-plus run ninth inning deficit to win. No other MLB team has had 3 such wins before the All-Star break since the All-Star game began back in 1933. And then Greg Harvey at Between the Numbs put this one out. MLB team since 1901 to have 3-plus comeback wins by trailing in the ninth inning or later by 4-plus runs in a season. The Diamondbacks, the 2024 Marlins, the 1979 Indians. That's it. And the Diamondbacks have done it in just 70 games. So maybe you should have been aware that this could potentially happen if you had a Padres ticket last night. But yes, 5 runs in the bottom of the ninth as the Diamondbacks walked it off, trailing 7-3 going into the ninth inning. And we were on the air last night. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they were the favorite to start the game with Zach Gallen on the hill. They trailed 1-0 after the second, scored 3 in the fourth to take the lead, become a massive favorite. Then the Padres played at 4 in the seventh, 2 more in the ninth. But man, the Diamondbacks, I had to double check my notes last night as I was prepping for the show, because I assumed as the Padres were up 7-3, would take care of business. And obviously they did not. So yeah, the tough one there, but keep the tweets rolling in. Appreciate you, Chris, for chiming in there on a Sunday morning regarding a tough one last night. But at least as a D-backs fan, maybe the loss of your cash felt a little bit better with another comeback win by your team, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Well, Pacer fans, they're hoping for solace come Monday night as they watched a 4-point lead with 3 minutes to go disappear, a double-digit lead late in the third quarter get wiped away. And now you wonder, was that the missed opportunity? Did the Larry O'Brien Trophy slip through the fingertips of the Indiana Pacers on Friday night at Gainbridge Fieldhouse? Or is this team just a resilient bunch? I mean, hell, the Cockroaches got cockroached on Friday night. I've been continuing to call the Pacers the Cockroaches because they don't die. They never go away. When you think to game five of the Bucks series, game two of the Cavs series, game one of the Knicks series, game one of the NBA finals, they do not go away. But then they had the double-digit lead, and the Thunder, who I'll be honest, as I was sitting there on Friday night watching that game, I thought they were done. I thought they were toast. But they ratcheted up the defense. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I know Wes Reynolds was none too pleased, as many Pacer fans or Pacer backers were, on the missed travel, which it should have been a travel. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander went off in the fourth quarter, 15 points. The defense was unbelievable in that fourth quarter from the Oklahoma City Thunder as they were able to overcome that double digit, easy for me to say, deficit. All right, let's hear from Tyrese Haliburton. 18 points in game four. Not enough. We'll see what he brings to the table in game five. Tyrese Haliburton on the mindset of the Pacers heading into Monday night's game five in OKC.
I think as a team, you just got to be ready to respond. You know, every game is different. You know, you just got to be able to respond when your back's against the wall. And that's here we are. That's where we are right now. So obviously that's a frustrating loss. But as a group, you know, I still have a lot of confidence in ourselves as a group. We got to be ready to go down there and fight for 48 minutes. You know, it's going to be a challenge, but this group has been resilient all year, and I wouldn't want to go to war with any other group. So I'm really excited about game five.
Tyrese Haliburton player prop for Monday night is 16.5. And, you know, the numbers are pretty jarring when you look at when he has 20 plus points this postseason and how successful the Pacers are. And Halliburton's not the type of guy that you need that wants to press, but you think back to game four, 18 points, 7 assists, just 1 of 7 from 3. His game 3 was phenomenal. And that was something that Matt Humans and I discussed quite a bit on primetime leading into game 3. He was pretty, call it what it is, he was not great in games 1 or 2. He had the big shot in game 1. Game 3, he was great. 22 points, 11 assists, 9 boards, almost had a triple-double, 4 of 8 from 3, really fed off the crowd. And now when you look at this postseason, and you just run through it real quickly. In the Bucks series, he had 2 20-point games. They won both. In the Cavaliers series, he had 2 20-plus games. They won both. In the Knicks series, he had 4 20-plus point games. They won all 4. Gone over 20 once in this series, they won. 9-0 this postseason when he goes for 20-plus points. So sometimes you see it when a star player presses. They kind of get out of rhythm. Well, it kind of goes hand in hand, doesn't it? It seems when Halliburton's on, the Pacers take care of business. So when I look at the prop of 16.5, I am intrigued to look at that and say, maybe you're going to see a pretty strong performance from Haliburton, even though his two performances on the road so far in these NBA finals, 14 points in game one, did have the game winner, 17 points in game two. And some of those were kind of window dressing type of performances. But what makes this Thunder team, this Pacers team tick, what makes them go is transition, getting out and running. We saw that in game three. Even though the total went under in game three, we saw this team get out and go, get out and transition. Unable to do so in game four, and things really bogged down in that fourth quarter. So Rick Carlisle, head coach of the Indiana Pacers, what unfolded and what happened in that fourth quarter where they were held to just 17 points?
Their second shots were a big problem. When you're unable to rebound, it's hard to continue to play with pace and tempo. I haven't looked at the end of the game yet, so I don't have the blow-by-blow for you. But give them credit. They kept attacking, and their defense was great down the stretch. An inability to come up with rebounds, an inability to get key stops was a part of it. And then, we just got too stagnant. You know, the ball was not being advanced quickly enough. We weren't creating problems. and we were up against the clock a lot. So things got very difficult, but you got to give Oklahoma credit. I mean, they made it very difficult.
When you look at game one, game two, game three, game four, Pacers win 21 fast break points combined in that game. Game two, 13 fast break points, Thunder win. Game three, 27 combined fast break points, Pacers win. Game four, 17 fast break points. Kind of plays out, right? That's the way it ultimately goes. The Thunder dominated in the paint in game four, plus six. They got some big second chance points, and ultimately that was how this all unfolded. Much more on the NBA Finals. We'll talk to JVT in hour number three. We'll hear some more sound as well in hour number three as well. Game five, back in Oklahoma City, Monday night. Right now, the Thunder, a 9.5-point favorite against the Indiana Pacers. Hey, folks, if you're betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use the promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Once again, head on over to firstbet.com. Final round of the U.S. Open is underway. We won't see Sam Burns or Adam Scott or J.J. Spahn, Victor Hovland until 2 o'clock this afternoon. But who will the books be cheering for? And did last night sting the books as much as it stung me with that over? We'll find out next.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
U.S. Open underway at a very overcast Oakmont Country Club today. We'll see Sam Burns and Adam Scott, the final pairing. They will tee off their final round coming up at 2:15 Eastern. The second to last group out, J.J. Spahn and Victor Hovland, they will get going at around 2:04 Eastern time. We heard from Wes Reynolds on the other side, in the first hour of the program, and he thought, Victor Hovland may be worth a little bit of a look on the final day of the U.S. Open. He's around 6-1 at a number of shops. Well, we had game five, of the Stanley Cup Final unfold last night. NBA Finals on Friday. We'll be back at it starting early next week. So how has the house fared? Well, it's a Sunday, so let's check in as we like to do with our friend Thomas Gable, and we call that segment Behind the Counter.
Where are the lines changing, and where's the money going? Let's go Behind the Counter.
Thomas Gable joins us courtesy of our Progressive guest line, the race and sportsbook director at the Borgata there in Atlantic City. What was the scene like, Thomas, at the Borgata as we saw 5 goals scored in the final period of game five and we saw another over hit? The first period over, now 5-0. That goal came with, a minute 56 to go in the first period, and then we saw 5 goals, including an empty netter with about a minute and change to go to get the over. I got to imagine, if I'm just guessing, you were not pleased, but your clients were very pleased with the result last night on the ice.
You'd be correct there, Tim, in that assessment. Yeah, much to your chagrin and mine. The over gets home again, and we actually had a bigger decision on the total, believe it or not, than on the side in that game last night. So there was a lot of over money. And, you know, again, if you were sitting there with a under ticket at the end of the second period, you were feeling pretty good. And then, as you said, you don't typically ever expect to see 5 goals in one period, but that's exactly what happened. And the first period over as well that you just mentioned also got home. So it was a profitable night on ice, it seemed, for a lot of our bettors here. On the side, we did win on the side in that, but overall, with the way that everybody just was piling in on over 6.5, we did lose on the total in that one. So yeah, not a great result for you or for I.
Yeah, such is life. But as you like to note, right? Sometimes you gotta grease up your clients, right? You gotta make them feel good. You gotta want them to come back and continue to spend money, put that money over the counter. I am curious though, Thomas. After last night, I know that Edmonton, after their comeback in game four, at most shops, they had flipped to an ever so slight series favorite because of home ice. Now that Florida has regained that 3-2 series lead, what are you guys at for adjusted series price?
Yeah, it's right now, obviously, Florida certainly in the driver's seat. And for the series, Panthers now -350 to lift the cup there. So, you know, as I said, I think on this show before, in terms of our futures, we were in decent shape on both these teams coming into the series. We would win to both. Florida would be the better result for us. So certainly we were rooting for the Panthers here, but Oilers weren't going to be a bad result either for the series. So can't ever complain when you're in that position going into a finals.
Once again, Thomas Gable joining us, as he always does on Sundays, giving us the latest from behind the counter. He is the Race and Sportsbook Director at the Borgata in Atlantic City. When you look at the U.S. Open board, I'm always curious how books are going to fare when you've got relatively, you know, long shots sitting there. Sam Burns, J.J. Spahn, Victor Hovland, Adam Scott, because small bets can count, can really ratchet up rather quickly, but also Scottie Scheffler, as of right now, is nowhere to be seen. So where are you guys from a liability standpoint heading into the fourth round of the U.S. Open today?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's four guys there who are sitting under par with Sam Burns at 4-under. Now, from a pre-flop look, we're in good shape on all of these. And really, even spots, you know, probably through top 10. At this point, Scheffler sitting there at a +4 would obviously need a lot of things to go his way, not just him to shoot a tremendous round, but a lot of guys to back up, which it is the U.S. Open. If any tournament that is going to play out that way, it certainly could be the U.S. Open. But from a live betting perspective, this is setting up. Typically, this is what we want to see, right? When you go into a final round in a major where you have four or five guys who are there and with a possibility to win. So there's a lot of options there for bettors to come in on. And especially, again, on a course like Oakmont, where things can change quickly in terms of positioning and scoring. So odds will be changing quickly as well there. And this is, you know, if you say to me before the tournament started, hey, going into the final round, you have four guys there who are under par. Nobody's the runaway favorite at this point with a huge lead, which would really mute the in-play betting. The only issue here is you don't necessarily have household names at the top of the leaderboard. Yes, so the people who follow golf and bet golf week to week, everybody knows Sam Burns. Obviously, Adam Scott's past his prime at this point. People obviously know Victor Hovland, but the real recreational bettors who maybe only bet golf during the majors, they're not exactly up on Sam Burns's record this year or J.J. Spahn's record this year. So I think just the fact that there isn't a big name like a McIlroy, like a Scheffler at the top may dilute the handle a little bit in play today, but in terms of just having a lot of options there available for people to jump in, that's exactly what we want. So, you know, Hovland sitting there only 3 off the lead, 6-1. He's going to be, I think, a popular play in play here today, depending on how he gets started. But listen, you have guys, I honestly don't think, even Carlos Ortiz, who's 4 off the pace, I don't think even that's too far, depending how this course is going to play. Now, looking at the people who are out there right now, Rory is out on the course. He's 2-under through 8. You have a handful of guys who are under par right now. About three guys who are on the course right now are under par for the day. Matsuyama's 1 under 214. So it is possible to score under par, obviously, today. Now, I guess the good news weather-wise, you know, it's not going to be sun's not going to be baking this course out and making a play even tougher. There's going to be cloud cover, and I don't think Oakmont necessarily is going to play as difficult or as extreme as some people thought. If you told me coming into the week somebody's going to be sitting at 4 under going into Sunday, I would have said there's no way. I certainly would have thought we wouldn't even see anybody even 1 under coming into to Sunday. So the fact that there's four guys under par coming into the final round is pretty good. And I think it's really just due to the weather and the conditions that we've seen so far.
Thomas, before we let you run, we got about a minute here. Thomas Gable from the Borgata joining us. Game 5 tomorrow night down in Oklahoma City. How was the result for you guys on Friday night with the Thunder getting that miraculous cover? And what do you expect from an action standpoint for tomorrow night's game?
Yeah, we needed the Pacers in that one. So the total stayed under, which was good for us. But yeah, right now, again, 9.5 Thunder is open basically as the favorite, 9.5. And the total obviously has come down a bit. You're seeing 224.5 right now for the total there. But the early action has been on Oklahoma City, and they're heading home now, having even the series there at 2-2. And I think most of the bettors now are kind of expecting here Oklahoma City to not only take this and possibly close it out in six. That 4-2 series margin, that was certainly the most popular bet in terms of the options in how the series was going to play out. So there's some liability there for us on that exact outcome with Thunder winning the series 4-2. And just the way that this game, at least early, the early betting has been shaping up, a lot of people expecting the Thunder to take this game tomorrow night.
Thomas, always appreciate it, sir. Happy Father's Day to you, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you, and happy Father's Day to you and all the fathers out there.
There he is, Thomas Gable. We've got breaking news, a big NBA trade. We'll hit on that, as well as welcome in Jimmy Ott on the other side, as he's going to give us some thoughts on the College World Series today after handing out a winner that we dished out to you last night on Live Bet Saturday. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Got a little breaking news on a Sunday morning, breaking NBA news. And no, it's not Giannis and it's not Kevin Durant, but it's a big, big trade, ladies and gentlemen. Desmond Bane of the Memphis Grizzlies is no longer a Memphis Grizzly. He is headed to the Orlando Magic. The Magic pulling off a big old trade here, a team that certainly seems to be on the upswing. The Grizzlies, according to Shams Charania of ESPN, are trading Desmond Bane to the Magic for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Cole Anthony, 4 unprotected first-round picks, and a first-round pick swap. So Desmond Bane headed to the Orlando Magic. Those picks, the Magic are sending the 16th pick in this year's NBA draft, the Phoenix first-round pick in 2026, a 2028 unprotected first-rounder, a 2030 unprotected first-rounder, and a pick swap in 2029. So a big, big move for the Orlando Magic. And as Kelly Bidlin, our own Kelly Bidlin, pointed out, how are they going to trade 14 first-round picks for Giannis later on this offseason? I don't know. That is a good question. But we will get more thoughts on this next hour. JVT will jump on the program. Hey, folks, we just talked to Thomas Gable, who told us that last night wasn't so great for them from the total standpoint. And if you want to know where the money is really going, well, check out our betting splits over at vsin.com. They come courtesy of DraftKings and Circa, so you know the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every game across every major sport. You could check out our betting splits for as little as $9.99 in your first month. Head on over to vsin.com/subscribe. So last night, I was hosting Live Bet Saturday with Mark Melusis, and right before LSU Arkansas started, I told Mark, I said, hey, my guy Jimmy Ott told me this is a dead under game in LSU and Arkansas. And maybe I was cursing Jimmy's name when it was 3-0 in the second inning, but I never gave up hope. And it was an easy winner. He was dishing out candy like the Easter Bunny last night. And he joins us right now, courtesy of our progressive guest line. Jimmy, your guy Kate Anderson was dealing yesterday as the Bayou Bengals take care of business against Wupik-Suey. You know, our guy Colin Wilson brought the mood a little down because he's an Arkansas guy. Uplift our spirits, Jimmy, because you're a Bayou Bengal, and that was delicious last night for LSU.
Man, my boy Colin, man, he acted like LSU threw out a walk-on, a first-time starter. He is going to be – Kate Anderson is going to be either the first or second pick in the overall draft. Of course, Matt Holliday's got another phenom son, so Jackson's little brother could be go one or two as well. But Anderson's been doing that all season long. He misses a lot of bats. He's been phenomenal, and he's been pitching in these SEC venues. They play way smaller than Charles Schwab. I mean, so you bring in that kind of stuff, and he doesn't walk a whole lot. I mean, he attacks his own. He misses bats, and that's why he's going to be a pick. I mean, you know, we talked about it on my radio show this week. I said, I mean, I'm not trying to be a homer here, but you got one pitcher in the entire country you can take for this game. Who you want? It's Anderson. So Anderson is the best pitcher in college baseball right now. I'll get to one who might be in the conversation a little bit later. He's going to take the hill tonight, but and it's Arkansas. And, you know, I've been going to Omaha since the early 90s. So Rosenblatt, you know, up to 15 years ago. And when the city of Omaha is a great host, that's never going anywhere. They're just wonderful. Whether they host the first two rounds of the NCAA basketball tournament, the Olympic swimming and diving trials, they're all in and a great host. But, and they invested a lot of money in the downtown park. They say, well, it's just, you know, it's a lot, it's a lot bigger and things like that. No, it just plays bigger. The dimensions are exactly the same from Rosenblatt to Charles Schwab. Rosenblatt was built along the interstate up on a bluff. Ball flew out. This is built downtown near the river. Go from home plate, right center field extended. There's the Missouri River. And 80% of the time, the wind is blowing in, and the ball just does not carry. You know, Michael Conforto, who started with the Mets. And I mean, he just barreled one up one of the first days I was in the park for Oregon State. It's about 30 feet from the warning track. I mean, he just went to dive. We would see center fielders play closer to the infield dirt than the warning track dirt. So it's played a little bit smaller, but this is an under park. The 15 seasons it's been in it, never the best the overs have done is 500. 3-1 start. Maybe the first one should have gone under, but certainly you got lucky with UCLA. Murray State's kind of an over team with their roster, but you know, the unders are the play. And so we got a nice start. And so, man, don't panic. Zach Rue gave LSU a couple of runs in that one. They scored more runs than they should have yesterday.
Well, let's get to tonight. Jimmy Ott, our good friend from ESPN Baton Rouge, joining us courtesy of our progressive guest line. LSU plays UCLA tomorrow. We'll get to that game here in just a moment. But Coastal Carolina, a team that I think many people who follow the sport as closely as you do know about this Coastal Carolina team. They have not lost since April 22nd. They're riding a 24-game winning streak. And they are -130 favorites here at Circa today against Oregon State. This will be the night game, 6 o'clock Central, first pitch there at Charles Schwab. Total's 9. It's actually ticking up. The under, it's ticking down, I should say. The under is taking money right now. 9 juiced under at -25. That's the way you're looking, right? Total here today?
I like the total, and I like Coastal Carolina. And this pitcher that they have throwing for them today is outstanding. Morrison, he was a Sun Belt Pitcher of the Year. Coastal as a team was 26-4 in the Sun Belt. You say, okay, well, it's not a major conference. It's still the number seven RPI conference in baseball. It's a very respectable conference. They dominated that. First year coach, he's not an outsider. He played for Coastal. He was an assistant coach for what, the last 18 out of 20 years. So he knows the whole drill, and he's put together a hell of a roster. They have 10 pitchers with at least a 3.03 ERA or less. And the first reliever they brought in wasn't one of those 10, but Morrison's the guy. He shoved it down Auburn's throat in the Saturday game that that eliminated Auburn. Coastal went into Auburn and did something and hadn't done all season. Auburn had never lost two in a row the entire season at home. Well, they went two and Q when they went there, and they just never threatened. I mean, this guy, his stuff, he's that, it's movement. He misses a lot of bats, and Auburn was just overmatched by Morrison's arm. So if he does trip up, I mean, they got a lot of, reserves, a lot of the just pitching depth. Look, I've got a ticket on Oregon State to win it all before the super regional round, before the regional round at 15-1. I thought they were going to be playing North Carolina in this game because the ACC pitcher of the year, Knapp, he would be burned up in the first game. Well, Arizona kind of, threw a monkey wrench into that one. And I'm going to have to bet a little bit on Coastal to win it all. Coastal win today as a saver on my Oregon State future bet. But Coastal is legit. And the other thing, they have the right approach in this park. Don't uppercuts come to die. At Charles Schwab Field. I mean, when they hit it up, how many home runs are going to be hit from alley to alley? Maybe one, this entire tournament. Man, when you hit it out that area, it is usually an out. So they it's not just the bunts, I heard Colin talk about, that they bunt a lot, and they do, but they put runners in motion. They try and they lead the country by like 30 as far as hit batsmen. They're not moving. You can't move into the pitch, but you're not responsible for moving away from the pitch to avoid it. And they got one reversed on them in the first game on Friday, the umpire. I thought he was wrong with the call. But anyway, their approach, putting the ball in play, not uppercut swings, going to bunt some, hit batsmen, you name it. Their approach is tailor-made for this ballpark. So I'm bullish on Coastal Carolina and the under today.
Jimmy Ott joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. We got about a minute, Jimmy. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we've got two games. We've got early lines out. Arkansas, Murray State, UCLA, LSU. Before these totals pop, anything jumping out to you from an expected number standpoint?
I'm an under player in this park, but not with Murray State. And we were fortunate to hit that one. I mean, they're pitching and they're hitting. No, I'm not fooling with that one. And that's a big number. You can't lay that. Arkansas is going to win that game, but I'm not, suggesting to lay $5. Anthony Ianson will start for LSU, 6'2", right-handed pitcher. You see San Diego, man, that's LSU. They got the budget, as big of an NIL player budget as anybody. And, on Father's Day, Jay Johnson's not a father. He has no kids. All he does is pound the recruiting trail in with this roster build. So, I mean, when you could throw a left-handed pitcher that throws high 90s, Shores was throwing 101 last night, Cowan and Evans rumbling. Evans struck out 9 in a row in the clinching game against Little Rock. And then you got a guy at Ianson who has 44 more Ks than innings pitched. He has been outstanding this year. But, Landon Slump will start for UCLA. He was part of a 5-pitcher combined shutout against a very respected UTSA team. I like the under in that one tomorrow night, LSU against UCLA.
Jimmy, always appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you soon. 69 days away from first snap of college football.
Yeah, Brian Kelly finally got off his ass and put together a decent roster. So, yeah. Thank you.
Our guy Jimmy Ott from ESPN Baton Rouge likes the under in Coastal Carolina, Oregon State. How about we talk a little college football? Penn State, whole lot of buzz. Should we be buying in to the Nittany Lions in 2025?
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here on a Sunday morning. Happy Father's Day to all. Hour number 3, we will talk to Matt Grissom, live from Omaha. We'll get his thoughts on the card today. Jonathan Von Tobel will join us in hour three, as well as we will get his thoughts not only on game five of the NBA Finals tomorrow night, but also the breaking news of the morning, which is the Orlando Magic have made a big splash. And we'll all discuss whether the price they're paying is too expensive, but they got a pretty darn good piece in Desmond Bane headed their way. So here is the trade that just came out about 15, 20 minutes ago. The Grizzlies are trading Desmond Bane to the Orlando Magic for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Cole Anthony, and four unprotected picks. As many have noted, the Mikal Bridges trade might have broke the NBA and the trades that are out there. Shams Charania has noted those picks are, as I'm scrolling through his Twitter feed, he's been tweeting a lot, number 16 this year in the NBA draft, next year's Phoenix first-round pick in 2026, a 2028 unprotected first, a 2030 unprotected first, and that pick swap in 2019. So Desmond Bane on the move. We were anticipating the Magic to make a pretty big move. Who would that be? Who would they try to make that splash for? And ultimately, it's Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane, one of three players in the NBA with 800 made threes and 40% three-point shooting since entering the league in 2020. He has shot, as the ESPN article points out, 43.2% on catch-and-shoot threes in the last five seasons, the third best among players with at least 1,000 attempts, according to ESPN research. So, big move there by the Orlando Magic, as the Magic coming off of a playoff season. And this is a franchise with some salary cap flexibility. Last year, were the seven seed. And now we will see. Actually ended up being, they were the seven, right? Because they beat the Heat in the play-in, or they beat the Hawks in the play-in tournament. So we'll get some more thoughts on this as the show goes on. But that's the breaking news here of the early morning. Quick look at the U.S. Open. As noted, and as we all know, Sam Burns, Adam Scott, J.J. Spahn, Victor Hovland won't get out there until later on this afternoon. Taking a look at some of the scores coming in right now. Xander Schauffele through three holes is six under. Or let me refrain. One under, six over. So he is right now off to a decent start, as he is tied for 29th. Denny McCarthy, someone that I just eyes gravitated towards. Looking at how Rory McIlroy is doing so far today out there on the course. He's one under, so he is up to tied for 42nd, and he is through nine holes today. But the leader's not out there until later, and circling back to where we stood from Wes Reynolds, did think Victor Hovland maybe worth a look there at 6-1. Jimmy Ott, by the way, just on the show, giving us his thoughts on tonight's Oregon State Coastal Carolina game. And it is worth noting the market's moving towards the under here. It had gotten as low as minus 125. It looks like some pushback now on the total, some over money coming into the betting market. So early movement, which is kind of fun to see here on a Sunday morning. But it looks like the best number, if you do like the under, is going to be at DraftKings. That is minus 110 to the under there, Oregon State and Coastal Carolina, with a first pitch at 6 o'clock Central Time there at Charles Schwab Field. All right, throughout the past couple of weeks, as we have continued to get closer and closer to the start of college football season, 10 weeks from yesterday was, we are 10 weeks away, I should say, easier for me, better to way to look at it, from the start of the college football season. Week zero, we have those four games. And then week one, Labor Day weekend, is 76 days away from that Saturday. That Sunday, we'll have two games, including Notre Dame and Miami, 77 days away. But one of the teams coming into this year that is getting a lot of hype, and understandably so, is Penn State. And if you were able to grab Phil Steele's preseason magazine, you would see that Phil Steele has Penn State as his national champion. And you look at where he ranks this Penn State squad from a unit standpoint, looking at all the unit rankings, he has them top five in 1, 2, 3, as we look at it, 5 of the 7 units. He has the wide receivers at 11, linebackers at 6, but quarterback 4, running back 1, O-line 1, D-line 3, defensive backs 4. A team that made the playoff last year, came up short against Notre Dame, but a lot of expectations coming back heading into this season, and also a lot of expectations when you think about what they've done from a coordinator standpoint. A year ago, they went out and got Andy Koltynicki, the Kansas offensive coordinator. Last year, or this offseason, they went and spent big money to get Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator from Ohio State. This is a team heading into this year that there are a ton of expectations for them. Scott Docterman covers college football for The Athletic, but really is locked in on the Big Ten. He covered Iowa for many years, and he was on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast earlier this week with me, and you can get the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And I asked him if he was buying in to the preseason hype on Penn State.
I am. I'm buying in on the hype, but I also think this is a legacy-defining season for the program and especially for James Franklin. And I think there's the potential for slip-ups. And now I'll say that I think that when you look at them on paper with the returnees, what they accomplished last year with some of the new additions that they made. I mean, Trevor Pena from Syracuse, a wide receiver, was a really strong pickup. Amari Campbell from North Carolina, you know, more of a kind of an edge rusher type that probably, you know, step into that role Abdul Carter had in some ways. I think that they've got the pieces in place to run the race and get, you know, all the way to the end in both the Big Ten and in the college football playoff. But they've got a couple of things that they have to conquer. One is Ohio State, because you just can't be, you know, second place to that team every single year and expect to win a championship. It just doesn't mesh well with what you want to do and what you want to accomplish. And then it'll keep you down in the playoff rankings and seedings. The other thing is Drew Aller. Can he go from being good to great? And the reason why I say that is in the 3 losses last year, he had the ball late in each one of those games and through interceptions or he blew opportunities. When you look at Notre Dame, the score was tied. 33 seconds left, he throws an interception. And then Notre Dame uses it to kick field goal. They were down 8 against Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, and he throws an interception with 1:54 left. And then Ohio State, he threw an interception in the end zone, and then he threw fourth and goal at the 1 in the fourth quarter, incomplete. He had really good games against everybody else, but he only completed almost 54% of his passes in those games, and what had 3 touchdowns and 8 interceptions in those 3 losses. He has to flip that. He has to be 8 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He has to be at 69% completion percentage. He has to make the plays in the moments that count for Penn State to go to be the team that it wants to be and to win those championships and erase, you know, a dubious legacy for James Franklin. If he can't do that, if he's going to struggle in the clutch, and then, as you said, the schedule both sets up nicely for Penn State, but also has some roadblocks. I mean, you know, they'll coast through the non-con. They're not even playing anybody with a pulse.
Oh, come on. Villanova's a challenge. Oh, wait, that's basketball.
had to get a little jab in there. Villanova, come on now. Hey, they had the Pope, you know? Hey, they got the Pope on their side. Maybe they could pull off the upset. But yes, the Penn State non-con is a joke. Nevada, FIU, and Villanova. But you get a whiteout against Oregon, as mentioned from Scott Docterman, at home. Tricky one, I think, at Kinnick, October 18th against Iowa, and then the road trip to Ohio State. Looking at some of the game of the year lines, they're a 4-point favorite against Oregon, 4.5-point favorite against Ohio State. It is worth noting, James Franklin, all time against top 5 opponents, 1-15. Against top 10 opponents, 4-20. I think there's a ton of pressure on James Franklin. Not job pressure, but are you ever going to deliver pressure? They're minus $3 to make the college football playoff. I'm buying into Penn State, sort of. They did upgrade the wide receiver room. They lose Tyler Warren, who did everything for them. Look at Tyler Warren's numbers a year ago. 104 catches, 1,200 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. 0 receptions from wide receivers in the semifinal against Notre Dame. A lot of pressure, a lot of hype on the Nittany Lions heading into this year. Can they deliver? One of the many questions in 2025. What's not a question is the great deal that Circa is offering right now. How about this? $400 all-in price. $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, two-night hotel stay all the way through September 4th. Check it out, CircaLasVegas.com.